We're continuing our series on Love Not the World. Love Not the World. Let's open up our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. Let's look at this command as put forth by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John. Love not the world. Again, reading out of the ESV, verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Now, we're focusing in on verse 15, and in particular, the A portion of verse 15. Do not love the world. We've gone over the definition of the world, but I want to go over that again and remind you of that, and then we'll move forward. Love not the world. The word world, again, is cosmos. Cosmos refers to order as opposed to chaos, which refers to disorder. The world is an orderly system, if you will. Cosmos, again, refers to the ways of this world, meaning its thoughts, its ideas, its opinions, its maxims, talking about its proverbs and sayings and so forth, its theories, its mannerisms, its speech, its styles, its speculations, hopes, impulses, aspirations and dreams and goals, and habits. The sum total of human life. The world, again, refers to the sum total of human life in the ordered world that is considered alienated from and hostile to God. And this ordered system, the sum total of human life, is designed to seduce us from the things of God. Further, cosmos is the ordered system of which Satan is the head. His fallen angels, if you will, are his ambassadors, and the unsaved people of the world are his subjects who are complicit with the purpose of Satan. And when we talk about this ordered system, we're talking about the purposes, plans, pursuits, pleasures, the practices, and places where God is not wanted. And remember, we must remember that this world system is anti-God and anti-Christ. Further, the world is the man-centered, Satan-directed system. Notice, man-centered, Satan-directed. Not God-centered, Holy Spirit-led, but it's man-centered, Satan-directed system of this world, which is hostile to God, hostile to Christ Jesus our Lord, hostile to the Comforter, the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit. And not only that, they're hostile to us, the people of God. And lastly, world again refers to the values of the world, the mores, which are the customs, the habits, and habitual patterns of the world. One moment. The lifestyle of the world, the ethics of the world, the morals of the world, the institutions of the world as they are established apart from God. So we're talking about all these things as they are established apart from God. And then we begin to talk about some facts or characteristics or traits of this world, the system that is ordered by Satan. Some facts, some traits, some truths, if you will, some realities concerning the world that is ruled by Satan. The first thing is that it is ruled by Satan. We went over the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, verse 31. Now, right now, is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Who is he? The ruler of this world. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. We went over that. In their case, the God of this world, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So he's the God of this world. He's called the ruler of this world. Ephesians 2:2, he's called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And that phrase, sons of disobedience, lets us know that Satan has children, if you will, who are under his domination and control. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, lets us know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over the present darkness, and lastly, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So Satan completely runs this entire world system, and it is, as 1 John 5:19 lets us know, that the whole world, this world system, is in his control. He holds it and it belongs to him. 1 John 5:19, and the world, the whole world, lies in the power, the lap, the control of the evil one. That's the first thing, that the world is run and ruled by Satan. Secondly, the world, we found out, which we don't want to be a part of, is going to hate us and isolate us and turn their backs on us and ostracize us. Give us the cold shoulder, if you will, and they'll shun us. That's the world. Look at John, the gospel, according to John, the 15th chapter, verse 18. This is our review. The gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verse 18. If, in this case, it would be since the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Jesus is speaking, letting his disciples know that the world's going to hate you. And when it does, remember, call to mind the fact that it hated me first, Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, the Son of Man. It hated me before it hated you, the followers of me. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So if you were of the world, and again, that means if you spoke like the world, your mannerisms are in line with the world, your theories, your philosophies, your conduct, your way of thinking, your ideas and ideology, if they were all in line with the world, then the world would love you. He said, if you're of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, and then there's a positive is a phrase that explains the previous phrase, because you're not of the world. Why? Because Christ Jesus chose us out of the world. Then the word therefore. Therefore means as a result of me calling you out of the world, and therefore you no longer being in the world, then the world is going to hate you. Because your theories and your philosophies and your reasonings and your way of thinking differs from them. And therefore, the world is going to hate you. Another characteristic, not only will it does Satan run this world, not only will the world ostracize and give you the cold shoulder and turn their back on you and hate you, the next characteristic or truth or trait about the world is that it does not know us because it did not know him. Him being Christ Jesus. Look at the gospel of, I'm going to make it the epistle of John, the first letter of John, chapter 3, look at verse 1. The first epistle or letter of John, chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That we should be called children of God. And that is a ton of love. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So the reason the world doesn't know us, and know doesn't mean know as in, hey, I don't know your name, I've never seen you before, not that. The reason the world doesn't know us as in are intimately acquainted with us and can recognize us and perceive us is because it didn't know the one from whom we were begotten or born. And Jesus said, if it hates you, know that it hated me first. And they're going to hate me because they don't know me. They never knew me. And Jesus never knew them. Matthew 7, verse 23 or so, and Jesus told them after they gave them this grocery list of works. Jesus said, and then I will declare you, depart from me, I never knew you. And if he never knows you, then you can never know him. And it says here that in the epistle of John, that the reason why the world does not know us, the children of God, the believers, the Christian, because it did not know God, it didn't know his son Jesus, is not familiar with the Holy Spirit. Look at the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. Look at verse 1, the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, first verse. Thank you, Father. And it reads, I have said all these things to you. Jesus talking to his disciples, giving last moment earthly instruction before he is to head to the garden and from the garden to Calvary. All these things I've said to you to keep you from falling away. In other words, to keep you from losing faith, to keep you from depending on yourself or the things of this world and not in God and the power of God and the faith, trusting God rather, in his person, in his plan, in his sovereignty, in his wisdom. So I'm saying these things to you that you, to keep you from losing faith and trust and confidence, to keep you from stopping yourself from relying on the power of God. Verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. He's letting us know, and I know his disciples, he's speaking specifically to his disciples, but he's also letting us who are his disciples, even on today, even letting us know that when we are mistreated, abused, misused, maybe even killed, they will do this because they don't know the Father nor the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't know them, they can't know you. The Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, verse 25. The Gospel of John, the next chapter over, chapter 17, verse 25. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. So again, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. So we went over that. Again, this one is another characteristic or truth or aspect of this world system, is that it does not know Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't know God the Father. It doesn't know the Holy Spirit. And as a result, it will not know us. They're not intimately acquainted with us. They don't perceive us. They won't understand us because they didn't perceive him. They didn't know him. They didn't understand him. They were not intimately acquainted with him. And we found out why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is still review, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's get it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, 1-4. Thank you for your patience. And it reads, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, foolishness to him. Doesn't make any sense. It's nonsensical. It's illogical. It's irrational. I can't wrap my mind around it. And it tells you why. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. All right. Amen. It tells you why that they don't accept the things of the Spirit, the things of God. And it tells you why it's foolishness to them. It is because they're not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now go back to the A portion of verse 14. The natural person. Who is the natural person? The natural person is the unsaved person, also known as a sinner. Someone whose spirit is dead, has not been raised from the dead, spiritually speaking. They are the walking dead. They are unsaved. They are unredeemed, unregenerate. They're the natural person. They're strictly just existing in the natural carnal state. That person who is unsaved, unregenerate, is not born again, spiritually dead, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Well, if you just see what's going on, it said that the things of God, it said that the natural person does not accept the things of God, well, because they are dead spiritually. And the rest of the verse says it's foolishness to him, and he's not able to understand them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. Well, if they're spiritually discerned and the spirit is dead, then it is impossible for the world to know the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and his offspring. It's impossible. Let me check something right quick. Hold on. All right. I'm not sure how this is going. Amen. Glory be to God. We'll just push on in Jesus' name. We are recording this audio too as well in case it's not going through. Let's look at another aspect of the word world, if you will. Let's look at another aspect of it. Friendship with the world is an hostile act towards God. We went over that last time. It's a hostile act toward God. Friendship with this world is an hostile act towards God. Let's look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. The epistle of James, chapter 4, the fourth chapter, verse 4. Again, friendship with the world is an hostile act towards God. It says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Glory be to God. Amen. So, not only is the world run by Satan and ruled by Satan, but it will also hate believers and give them a cold shoulder and ostracize them, turn their back on them. And it will not know you because it didn't know him. And also, if you're a friend with this world system, it is a hostile act towards God. We get that from James 4 and 4. He said, you adulterous people. Well, he called them adulterous because of the fact that we are married to Christ Jesus, and he is our husband. We, the church, the body of Christ, is married to Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is our husband. And that's that analogy or symbol of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the church with the Lord Jesus Christ, that symbolism, that example there, if you will, is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, I believe it is. And it says there's a command to husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might present her as a bride without spot or wrinkle. And so in that, Christ Jesus is our husband. We are the church. It's his bride. And so that's what's talking here, that the adulterous people, the people of God, have broken the covenant vow, the marriage covenant that we have with God, Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we break it? By loving the world more than loving Christ Jesus. And that's crucial when we do something like that. If you remember when Jesus was restoring Peter after Peter lied and three times and denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, Jesus asked Peter after his resurrection and before his ascension, he asked him three times, do you love me more than, love me more than? And he said, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And so, you know, Jesus wanted Peter to confess out loud that, Lord Jesus, I love you more than anything else. And when we place anything above our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when we're talking about friendship with the world, that is committing spiritual adultery. And here, James, by the power and divine auspices of the Holy Spirit, calls the people of God out and calls them adulterers, you adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Friendship with the world. The word friendship is philia, P-H-I-L-I-A. Now just review. Friendship means to love in the sense of having strong emotional attachment, to be affectionate for, in this case, the world. This affection is not casual, but implies a deep and intimate longing to be involved with the world. Deep, intimate longing to be involved with the world. It is a falling in love with the world, a falling in love with it. James is not talking about when sinners are tempted and occasionally fall into sin. He's not talking about that. I mean, that can happen to any of us. What he's referring to is a settled affection, a strong attachment and attraction, an intimate relationship with the world. That's not something that just lightly, this is something that is deep down. So when you have that level of friendship with the world, then you incur the hostility. It becomes a hostile act toward God. The word enmity means hostile. It means antagonistic. It is a show of animosity and form of hatred toward God. That's a strong word. So that's why I entitled that friendship with the world is an hostile act towards God. And you can see why. Because your allegiance is temporarily transferred from the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. Your strong emotional ties and intimate longing has been transferred from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the things of God. You're transferred over to the world, and that is when we commit spiritual adultery. Then he says at the end of verse 4, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, that's a strong word, wishes, boulomai, B-O-U-L-O-M-A-I, wishes. It means more than just wanting, it's more than just a desire or a wish. It carries a strong idea of choosing one thing over another. You're choosing to be a friend of the world. And then it says, makes himself, kathistemi, makes himself, means to appoint, to make or ordain, indicating conscious intent. And then lastly, an enemy, ektros, which is actively hostile, strongly opposed to God. So we look at those three words. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And if you look at the progression, whoever wishes again carries the idea of choosing one thing over another. Makes himself, the kathistemi means to consciously make a decision, conscious intent. So when you wish, you're choosing it. Conscious intent means that you decided to do, and then last, to be opposed to the things of God. So you are choosing the world over the Lord Jesus Christ. You're doing it consciously and knowing that it is making you in strong opposition to God. You can see why that he would call them an adulterous people. Yes, and then 1 John 3:13, do not be surprised, brother, that the world hates you. The world hates you, it's gonna hate you. Okay, let's pick, all that is reviewed. Now let's pick up from here. Another fact about the world, so not only is the world ruled by Satan, the world will hate believers. The world does not know us because it doesn't know him. Friendship with the world is a hostile act toward God. The world, here's another fact, the world, the Satan order system, is full or has many false prophets throughout this world system. Many false prophets throughout this world system. Let us look at 1 John, the epistle, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Amen. 1 John, the epistle, chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Lord God. Beloved, verse 1 of 1 John 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? For or because many false prophets have gone out into where? the world. So this world system is full or has many false prophets throughout it. Why would you or I want to become part of this world, to fall in love with this world? And we talked about it, that it is anti-God and anti-Christ. The word false prophet, let's look at false first. False is a lie right off the bat. It is a lie. False is conscious and intentional falsehood. Conscious and intentional falsehood. It's a deliberate presentation of something that is not real. A deliberate misrepresentation of something that is not real. To present something as real, even though it is not. It's a lie. It's a conscious and intentional falsehood. Now, put that with prophet, false prophet. One who, acting the part of a divinely inspired prophet, utters falsehoods under the name of divine prophecies. A religious imposter. So I'm gonna read that again. A false prophet is, again, a false, the word false, is a lie. Conscious and intentional falsehood. That's false. So the prophet is going to present that which is a lie, and he's going to do it consciously and intentionally. Deliver falsehoods. It's not a mistake. It's not like, oops, I didn't realize that wasn't true. No, it's on purpose. False prophet again, one who, acting the part of a divinely inspired prophet, he's acting a part, because he's not that for real. Not what for real? A prophet, divinely inspired prophet. He's acting that part. Utters falsehoods. What is that? Lies. Intentional, conscious lies. Under the name of divine prophecies. So he's doing it and saying that God has told me to do this thing, or to say, this is from God, the Spirit of the Lord says this and that and the other. And all he is at best is a religious imposter. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. It says trying to connect, so bear with me. All right. Looks like we're back online, I'm not sure. Thanks for your patience. Thank you, Lord God. So again, a false prophet is one who's acting the part of a divinely inspired prophet. All he does is utters falsehoods under the name of divine prophecies, when all he is at best is a religious imposter. Now these false prophets, thank you, Lord Jesus. Audio, so glory be to God. We won't be before you long. We're talking about that the world, this world system, not only is it ruled by Satan, not only will it ostracize and hate you, not only does it not know you, friendship with the world is a hostile act towards God, and now we're talking about that the world is full of false prophets. The world is full of false prophets. And that's 1 John 4:1. Again, a false prophet is one who acts the part of a divinely inspired prophet, but all they do is utter falsehood in the name of divine prophecies. They are a religious imposter. Some characteristics of false prophets, and we'll go through this and we'll close. Some characteristics of false prophets is that false prophets will pretend to be Christ Jesus themselves. They will pretend to be Christ Jesus themselves. And by the way, they're related to the other group of people that is full of and is scattered throughout the world rather densely, and that is antichrists. A false prophet and antichrist, really, you could say, are the same thing for the most part. Look at Matthew 24:5. False prophets, some of the things that they will do is, one, they will pretend to be Christ Jesus himself. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24:5. It says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. So one of the things, again, that the false prophet is going to do is they're going to pretend to be Christ himself. And folks are going to believe him. And what's going to happen as a result is going to lead many astray. Many people will be led astray. Look at slide on down to verse 23 of Matthew 24:23. Then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect, those who are chosen by God, who will persevere, who will spend eternity with the Lord, if it was possible to pull them away from the things of God permanently to the point that they could lose their salvation, if it was possible, it would even fool them, but it's not possible. But that tells you how convincing these false Christs and false prophets will be when they perform their wonders and signs. So Jesus is saying, verse 25, see, I've told you beforehand. I'm letting you know this before it has happened. So if these false Christs and false prophets say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Why? Because they are false. They are liars. They are deceivers pretending to be divinely inspired prophets. Not only that, not only do false prophets pretend to be Christ Jesus, secondly, false prophets, their only aim is to destroy the flock of God. That's their only aim. Look at Acts, the book of Acts, written by Dr. Luke, the 20th chapter, verse 29. Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 29 and verse 30. And it reads, I know that after my departure, Apostle Paul is speaking, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, perverted things, lies that are and untruths. Why? To draw away the disciples, the mathetes, those who are students and learners of Christ Jesus, to draw them away after themselves. They want to entice them away from the things of God, from following the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow themselves. So their whole aim is to destroy the flock of God. Notice in verse 29, they're referred to as fierce wolves, not fierce lions, not fierce tigers or bears. There's a quote that I want to read to you, a little saying here, as soon as I find it. It says, the lion and the tiger may be more powerful than the wolf, and indeed they are, comma, but you'll never see a wolf perform at a circus. Meaning that you can tame this big, more powerful lion. You can tame this big, more powerful tiger. You can tame them so that they can perform at a circus. But you can't tame the wolf. The wolf is an untamable animal in a sense. And so the fact that the Holy Spirit refers to the people of Satan and his cohorts, as wolves is by design. Wolves are dangerous. They are wild beasts, out of control, dangerous. And when you have a wild animal that's on the loose, doing whatever it wants to do, that's a very dangerous animal and can cause great destruction. In Jesus' name, glory be to God. We're going to stop there in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to teach the word of God. I'm not sure how much your people heard, but I pray that just if a word or two just got through, that it will touch their heart, cause them to think a different way. More importantly, that they will move closer to you and bring you maximum praise, glory, and honor that is due your name. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.